If I were to ask you, what is unique to the Oklahoma State Cowboys? You might say burnt orange. You might even say Pistol Pete. You might say the Spirit Rider. You might even say pistols firing. Any OSU fans in the house today? Two of you. All right, that's exciting. Great job. Okay, awesome. If I were to ask you what is unique to the Oklahoma Sooners, you might say crimson and cream. You might say boomer. Yeah. Okay, more OU fans in the house, I think, maybe, possible. All right, you might even say the Sooner schooner. You might even say the Roughnecks. You might even say Heisman trophies, national championships, things like that as well, but we won't get into all of that, okay? If you were to ask me, what is unique about Lake Center Baptist Church? I would respond that we are a vibrant, multi-generational church. I would say that we are a loving church. I would say that we are a church with people from all different walks of life and many different backgrounds. I would also say that we are a church with people from Monkey Islands, with people from Grove, with people from Afton, Bernice, Cleora, Veneta, Miami, Fairland, and many other communities that I may have forgotten. I would also say something that makes us unique is that we are the only church on Monkey Island. Do you know what makes Christianity unique? This is what makes Christianity unique, and it is this truth, it is this fact, that our Savior is alive. Our Savior is not dead. Jesus is alive. Jesus has been resurrected from the grave. You see, church, in all other major world religions, their leader is dead. But we worship, we sing to a risen Savior. That's what makes Christianity unique and different from all other major world religions. We worship a risen Savior. Billy Graham said, instead of us searching for God, God is searching for us. Instead of us reaching up to God, God is reaching down to us. This is why Jesus is so important, because he came down from heaven to do for us what we could never do for ourselves, bring us to God. He says, God is perfect and holy, and we are separated from him by our sins. No matter how hard we try, we cannot erase the stain of sin by ourselves, but by his death and resurrection, Christ did this for us. The text that we read earlier says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. Paul says, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. And this word pitied, the Apostle Paul uses here, it can also be translated as miserable. In other words, if Christ has not been resurrected from the grave, we should be a miserable people. We have a miserable future. We are a people who should be pitied. We are a people who have no hope. But this is why Paul says at the end of this section, he says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Therefore, we are not a people of misery. Therefore, we do not need to be pitied. We have hope because Christ is alive. Before we move on any further, let's watch this video. Take a look at this.
So much has changed since last Easter. The world has been shaken. Life has been disrupted. What we once called normal seems like it may never return. It's been easy to be discouraged, to lose hope, to feel the foundations of our faith begin to crumble. It's hard to keep our feet planted when the ground beneath feels like shifting sand. Now more than ever, we need to stand on the truth of Easter. A day which changed our eternity, changed our world forever. Death was defeated by life. Sin was consumed by mercy. The grave was swallowed up by victory. See, even in the darkest of moments, the love of Jesus could not be stopped. His faithfulness could not be broken. And when the dust settled, Jesus, he stood alive and victorious. Today, may we remember the truth of Easter, the power of the resurrection, and the promise of eternity. Yes, the world has been shaken, but the grave, it's still empty. And Jesus, he's still risen.
Risen. I want to ask and answer this question this morning based on the text that we just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the question that I want us to ask and answer this morning is this: what does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean for us? What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean for us? And the very first thing that I want to say is this, is that there is hope for our past. There is hope for our past. And I believe with all my heart today, as I was preparing for this message this day and praying through this very day, I believe with all my heart that there are many of you in this room who walked into this place today hanging on to past mistakes, hanging on to past burdens, hanging on to things that you did in your past. I believe with all my heart that many of you walked into this place today with just a sense of guilt because of things long ago. And there are things that you have not gotten over, things that you still feel bad about, things that you still feel guilty about. But this is what I want to say to you this morning. And I want you to hear this. If that is you this morning, please hear this, that God loves you with an unending and eternal love in spite of your past. Hear that again. That God loves you with an unending and eternal love in spite of your past. I want you to see this cross up here. And I want you to imagine those things that you maybe brought into this place today, still feeling bad about, still feeling guilty over. And I want you to see this cross today. And I want you to be reminded that whenever Jesus Christ died on that cross, your sins died there as well. The penalty of your sin died there as well. Jesus Christ, he took the penalty of your sin. Therefore, you don't have to feel guilty anymore. Because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross, because of the fact that he has been resurrected from the grave, you see, there is hope for your past. And this morning, I just want to encourage you, if you brought that sense of guilt and pain and remembrance of sin from the past, I want to encourage you today to leave it. To leave it at the cross. To leave it nailed to the cross. To leave it there in the grave. There's hope for your past. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide. That word chide, it also means to scold or to reprimand. Nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Would you hear that today? Those of you who are holding on to your past, that guilt that you carried into this place today, please know what the Word of God says. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. One of my favorite movies growing up was the series of movies Back to the Future, where Michael J. Fox was able to jump into the DeLorean time machine. Any of you guys like that movie, those movies? Love those movies. I was always just, I would watch those movies and think to myself, how cool would it be to be able to jump into the DeLorean and to go to the past or to go into the future or to go back to my past to correct something. But you see, church family, we cannot go back and erase our past. But you know what? We don't need to. If you're in Christ, God already has. So here's the question that I want to ask you this morning. The question is this: why are you living in the guilt of your past mistakes when God doesn't even see them? Would you hear that again? Why are you living in the guilt of your past mistakes when God doesn't even see them? In just a little while, in about 2 or 3 hours, we're going to leave this place. Just kidding, I promise you, it'll be in the next 20 to 25 minutes, hopefully, all right? But in just a little while, you're going to leave this place, and you're going to go to your homes, and you're going to be with your families, and you're going to walk out of this door. And here's how I want you to leave this place today. I want you to leave this place today rejoicing. Leave this place today dancing if you'd like to do so, if you can. Leave this place today smiling that in Christ there is hope for your past. What does the resurrection mean for us? I'll receive this today. There is hope for our past. Next, what does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean for us? The second thing that I want to say is this, is that there is hope for today. There is hope for today. Many of you in this room today are facing difficult odds. You have family issues that you are dealing with. There are financial issues that you are dealing with. There's a health issue that you just cannot seem to get over. There's a specific need that you really just need to see met. There's a job issue. There is a workplace issue. There is a future decision that's on your horizon that you're trying to make, that you're trying to work through. There is a habit that you're trying to break. There is a sin that just seems to keep on coming up. But can I remind you of what the Word of God says in Luke chapter 1, verse 37? It says this: for nothing will be impossible with God. You see, God is above that family issue. God is above that financial issue. He's above that health issue. He is above that need that you have. He's above that workplace issue, that job issue, that sin issue, that habit that you're trying to break, that future decision that you are trying to make. God is above all of that. You see, because of Christ, because of what He has done, there is hope for you today. On this very day, April the 4th, 2021, there is hope for you and what you are facing. Romans 8:28, I love this verse. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. There is hope for you today in whatever you are going through, in whatever you are facing. You see, man is limited in what he can do. I cannot fly. I would love to be able to go to the top of this church building and just jump off and float. But you know what? I'm limited. I cannot do that. I cannot go back in time. As much as I would love to go jump in the DeLorean and go back in time, I cannot do that. I cannot be invisible. I do not have superhero powers. But guess what? As I am limited in what I can do, God is not limited. God can do anything. Think about what our God has done. Just think about this. He spoke and all that you see was created. Go outside as I was doing last night. I was going outside and just looking up into the sky and seeing all of the stars, the beauty of our God's creation, and He spoke and all of that was made. That's the power of our God. He is not limited. He is not limited by anything. So today, you can trust God for whatever situation you are in today. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. He can handle it. So today, give to Him whatever you're facing, whatever that issue is. Leave it at the cross. Leave it there today. He is above it. There is hope for you today. There is hope for our past. There is hope for us today. Next, I want us to understand, based on what Christ has done, there is hope for tomorrow. There is hope for tomorrow. I think that many of you would identify with what I'm getting ready to say, that this past year, this COVID year was a crazy year, right? For me personally, it was probably one of the most odd years I've ever been a part of. A very difficult year, lots of ups, lots of downs, lots of disappointments. It was just a really just odd year. For many of you, it was a difficult year. For many of you, you lost jobs, you lost friends, family members. Your whole world was altered. Your life was altered. This year, this past year, affected you in a great way. But you know what? Here's what's crazy about this thing that we call life is that we don't know what tomorrow holds, right? Unfortunately, something like COVID could happen again. We pray against that. We beg God that that would never, ever happen again. But you know what? We have no clue what tomorrow holds. For many of you, there is something on your horizon that you're thinking about right now. You're wondering how this is going to play out tomorrow. Maybe it's a decision that you're trying to make. Maybe there's something going on in your family. Maybe there's a health issue with a loved one that you're just concerned about. And you're constantly thinking to yourself, how is this going to work itself out tomorrow? How am I going to afford this tomorrow? How can I handle this tomorrow? You see, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but guess what, church family? We know who holds tomorrow. Again, we do not know what tomorrow holds, but we know the one who holds tomorrow. Therefore, we have hope for tomorrow. Jesus himself said, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In other words, in whatever you're facing, in thinking about and concerned in regards to tomorrow, what Jesus himself says here is seek God, follow him, seek his righteousness, and he will take care of tomorrow. That's what Jesus is saying here. That's why Jesus says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Many of you may remember that song from the early 80s, Tomorrow by Annie. Remember that song? Any of you want to sing that song today? No? The lyrics go like this. The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. Just thinking about tomorrow clears away the cobwebs and the sorrow till there's none. And while that is a great song, it's a really cute song, I need to say this morning that it is theologically incorrect. You might be saying, Caleb, what are you talking about? You see, unfortunately, we do not know if the sun will come out tomorrow. Tomorrow may be cloudy again. Maybe a dark day again tomorrow. Unfortunately, we do not know if the sun will come out tomorrow. But let me remind you today, church family, we know the one who holds the sun. We know the one who holds tomorrow. Therefore, we are to hold on to him. Because of what Christ has done, there is hope. There's hope for our past. There's hope for today. There's hope for tomorrow. And whatever you might face, there is hope because of what Christ has done in his resurrection. And lastly, I want us to hear this today. In light of what Christ has done, there is hope for eternity. There is hope for eternity. I want to say this today. Please hear my heart. I don't want to be too morbid today, but I do want to be realistic with you today. Did you know that one out of one people will die? Did you know that? Again, I'm not trying to be too morbid here. I know it's a great day of celebration, but I do want to be realistic with you today that one out of one people will die. Did you know that on average across the world, 150,000 people die every single day? I was reading a book recently, and this one sentence captured my mind. The author writes, 100 years from now, all new people. 100 years from now, all new people. It reminds me of what that theologian Kenny Chesney said in his country song, Don't Blink. I made a confession to you many times that I just love country music. I love country music. But there's great truth to what he says in this song. I turned on the evening news, saw an old man being interviewed, turning 102 today, and I asked him, what's the secret to life? He looked up from his old pipe, laughed, and said, all I can say is don't blink. Just like that, you're 6 years old, and you take a nap. And you wake up and you're 25, and your high school sweetheart becomes your wife. Don't blink. You just might miss your babies growing like mine did, turning into moms and dads. Next thing you know, your better half of 50 years is there in bed, and you're praying God takes you instead. Trust me, friend, 100 years goes faster than you think. And again, I'm not trying to be morbid today. Again, I know that today is a day of celebration, but I want us to think realistically today about the truth of eternity. Hebrews 9. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment. But listen today, church family, as we understand this reality, that eternity is on the horizon for all of us today. If you are in Jesus Christ, you have hope in death. You have hope for eternity. I read this poem this past week. It's an Easter poem. It says, hope we not in this life only. Christ himself has made it plain. None who sleep, that means die, none who sleep in him shall perish. And our faith is not in vain. Not in vain are glad hosannas. Since we follow where he led, not in vain our Easter anthem. Christ has risen from the dead. You see, church, the resurrection of Jesus Christ gives us hope for eternity. You have nothing to fear in death. Whenever you are in Jesus Christ, there is hope for your eternity. Listen to what Peter says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. An inheritance that is waiting on you because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Let that encourage your heart today because of what Jesus Christ has done. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, you and I have this to look forward to in Revelation chapter 21. Again, there is hope for eternity because of Christ. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. because of Jesus Christ, we have access to this. To this great promise, to this inheritance that is waiting on you and I in the heavens. And the question that we have to answer this morning is this. The question is this: how do I have access to this hope? If that's what we have that's available to us, I want in on that. We want in on that. We all desire that. And the question that we have to answer is this: how do I get that? How do I have that hope? And the answer is this: the only way to have access to this type of hope that we're talking about today is by faith and belief in Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Jesus Christ is the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And no one goes to heaven. No one goes to the Father who is in heaven except through Jesus Christ. He is the way. Another question is this: why do we need Jesus Christ to have access to this hope? You might be saying to me or to us this morning, now, I've lived a good life. I give to the church at times. I go to Sunday school at times. I've done well with my life. The Bible makes it very clear that we cannot be good enough. God is too holy. He's too perfect. We cannot go into heaven based on our own righteousness. We can only go based on the righteousness of Christ. Why do we need Jesus to have access to this hope? And the answer is very simple. It's because of sin. What's that? What is sin? Sin, it's those things that we've done that displease God. Mistakes, wrongdoings, anything that displeases God, that goes against His holiness and His ways. The Bible tells us this, that every person has sinned. And it takes one sin, one mistake, to separate us from God for all eternity. Paul said this in Romans chapter 3, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Again, that's the bad news. He also says this in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." Again, we've all sinned, and what we deserve because of that sin is death. And the death that he's talking about here is a spiritual death for all of eternity in a very real place called hell. But praise God, Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23, both of these have a second part. Romans 3:23, let me read it again. Again, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Here's the second part. "And are justified by His grace as a gift." How? "Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Again, it's only through Jesus Christ that we have forgiveness. Praise God that Romans 6:23 has a second part. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul also says, "God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So how do we have access to this great hope? Well, Paul, he tells us this in Romans chapter 10. He tells us, this is how you have access to this great hope. This hope for your past, this hope for today, this hope for tomorrow, this hope for eternity. Here's how you have access today. Hear this. Listen to this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, what's that mean? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, in other words, what you are saying is this, is that Jesus, you are the boss. Jesus, you are the king. Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. That's what that means. If you confess that He is the Lord, that He is your Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, what's that? That's the Easter story. That's the Easter message that we've been talking about and singing about, trusting in the finished work of Christ on the cross and the fact that He was resurrected from the grave. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses unto God and is saved. For the Scripture says, "Everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. For as there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." You see, only through Jesus Christ, only through Jesus Christ do we have hope for our past. Only through Jesus Christ do we have hope for today. Only through Jesus Christ do we have hope for tomorrow. Only through Jesus Christ can we have hope for all of eternity. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Maybe you're in this place today and you're questioning, you're wondering, do I have access to this? Do I have access to this hope? Listen, you can have access to this hope this very day. How do you have access to this hope? Well, you have to come to that realization that you need Jesus. I need Jesus. We all need Jesus. Without Jesus, we have no hope. He's the only hope. He's the only hope for your sin. Today, if you're questioning or wondering if you have access to this hope, I want to encourage you to consider becoming a follower of Christ, to bowing your life to His Lordship and making Him the Lord of your life. How do you do that? You can pray a prayer like this today and mean this prayer from the depths of your heart. You can say this to God. If you want access to this hope and you feel this drawing inside of you, that's the Spirit of God drawing you. Would you say this to God? God, I understand that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I admit that today. I confess that Jesus is Lord. I ask that Jesus would be the Lord of my life. I believe in His finished work on the cross. I trust in His finished work on the cross and the fact that He was resurrected from the grave. And I commit my life to follow Him from this point forward. And if you said that today to God and meant that from the depths of your heart, the Bible calls you a Christian. The Bible calls you a believer. But there is a next step for you. The Bible makes it very clear that once a person trusts in Christ for salvation, that they are to come into the waters, what we call believer's baptism. If you don't know what that is, talk to somebody about it. But there is a next step for you. And if you said that to God today and meant that from the depths of your heart, you now have access to this hope that we're talking about. Would you tell somebody today? Would you tell me? Would you tell one of our leaders, one of our staff? Would you tell somebody that you came here with? If you're watching online, would you fill out that appropriate form and let us know? Number one, so that we can celebrate with you, but number two, so that we can lead you into what is next. There is next steps for you. Would you tell somebody? If you're in this place today and you came into here with guilt from your past, I just want to encourage you to open up your palm before God. Say, God, I give this to you. I leave this at the foot of the cross today. It's been paid for. It's done with. Again, I'll ask the same question that I asked earlier. Why are you living in the past? Past mistakes, past guilt, when God's not even there. Leave it here today. Maybe there's something that you're facing today and something that you're going through. You have hope for today because of Christ. Leave it here today. Give it to God. Leave it at the altar. Maybe there's something you're facing tomorrow. Give it to God by faith. God, we love you. Thank you so much for Jesus. May we never get over what He has done for us. Because of the resurrection of Christ, we are not a people to be pitied. We are not a miserable people. We have hope for our past. We have hope for today. We have hope for tomorrow. And we have hope for eternity. And Father, help us to leave this place today, not just today, but every single day, God, to live in light of the resurrection, that the gospel is good for us every single day, that we can rejoice in what Christ has done for us every single day. Therefore, Father, for my brother or sister in Christ that came into this place with burdens and guilt, help them to leave this place today rejoicing and singing and dancing and smiling because of the gospel, because of the good news of Jesus. Our sin is gone because Christ has been resurrected from the grave. Thank you for Jesus. We sing to you, we worship you right now. In your name we pray. Amen. Church family, would you stand with us as we sing to our God and thank Him for the hope that we have?